You know, as we've been looking and going through this series, we've been seeing the teachings of Christ and some of his miracles. And there's a lot of people who would believe in those things. A lot of people all throughout the whole world that would believe the teachings of Jesus Christ. In fact, they would actually even follow some of the teachings of Jesus Christ. In fact, in talking to people, we may disagree about other things, but they say, well, I like Jesus, but I don't really like the church, or I don't like Christianity. And I can understand that, by the way. I can understand, because sometimes we do a bad part of representing Christ to others. But it's something about understanding the teachings of Christ, and even believing in some of the miracles of Christ, that there's a lot of people who do that, but don't believe in his resurrection. But if you turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those who wrote the Gospels, who gave us the teachings of Christ, they would tell you to believe in the teachings, to follow the teachings, and even kind of halfway nod your head a little bit about his miracles, but not believe in the resurrection is a bad mistake. It's a bad mistake. In fact, I believe if they could come here and talk to us today, they would tell us that to believe everything about Jesus, his teachings, and to follow those things, but not to believe in his resurrection, really is not to believe in anything of value. Because it's his resurrection that really changed lives and started the church. And we're going to see that there's a struggle here, because a lot of us, especially in the Bible Belt that we live in here today, we believe, I know about Jesus, I know the teachings of Jesus. Anybody guys remember the old flannel boards going to Sunday school, remember the flannel board stories of Jesus, you know? We believe all the stories of Jesus, we understand the things about Christ, but I don't know if all of us really believe in a resurrection. And I'll tell you why here in a minute. Because to believe really in the resurrection, you've really got to take a step that a lot of us, I don't know if we've really taken. And so the struggle really is a struggle of belief. It's a struggle of belief. And we talk about the first Easter, and we talk about how Jesus wrestled death. Well, I don't really believe that Christ had much of a wrestling match with death. I mean, what could death do to someone who is the way, the truth, and the life? And Jesus even said that he is the resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. I don't think that was much of a wrestling match. I believe that the real wrestling match, the real struggle that first Easter, was with the disciples, the followers of Christ, and their unbelief. Their unbelief. In fact, Jesus had to deal with this on a constant basis with those who he were around and ministering to. He constantly tried to challenge people's beliefs and get the people to believe. And one such occasion is found in Mark, chapter 9, where a father brings his son to Jesus and says, you know what, Jesus, can you heal my son? And Jesus responds, If I can? What do you mean, if I can? Do you know who you're talking to? Anything is possible if a person what? Believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And you know what? Jesus just loves to help us overcome our unbelief. He loves to meet us more than halfway to help us overcome our unbelief. And in fact, I believe that's the real story of Easter. I believe that's the story of the resurrection. That Jesus overcome the most unbelievable thing so that we could overcome our unbelief. I believe that's it. I believe the real story of Easter is that Jesus helps us overcome our unbelief by overcoming the most unbelievable thing. That someone could come back from the dead. I'm not talking about near dead. I'm talking about dead. In the ground for a while, dead. He overcame the most unbelievable thing to help us overcome our unbelief. And why is this so important? Because if we really believe, if really, really believe that Jesus did raise from the dead, we can trust in. If you believe that, you'll start trusting in. If you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you'll start trusting in Christ for your life, won't you? Well, it's not always that way. In fact, it would bring some of us some comfort there this morning that even the followers of Christ really had a hard time with this. All the way through Jesus' life and all the way through his death, they still struggled with unbelief. And so we're going to pick up the story today with the disciples as they received the Last Supper of Christ in his ministry here on this earth before he reached the cross. They're sharing together, and Jesus again is trying to get their attention about this subject. And we're going to find ourselves in the midst of a struggle ourselves. But I believe that Christ, just like he did 2,000 years ago, is going to help us overcome our unbelief. Will you watch this? We'll be right back.
he want us for?
To take supper. Just supper.
My favourite is Philip, so he didn't make. Whose is it?
Whose word everything comes to be. Amen.
Amen.
This is our last meal together. Before I die,
what do you mean?
I'm going to be betrayed to my enemies, arrested, and condemned to death. Be afraid. Trust in God. Trust in me also. You know the way to where I'm going.
We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?
I am the way. The truth. And the life. This is my body. This is my blood. Remember me by doing this. I'm going to the Father, but I will always be with you. Now I must tell you that one of you here will betray me. Let him go. all away.
Rabbi, I will not fall away. I will lay down my life for you.
Will you?
I will.
I tell you, before dawn, you will deny me 3 times.
John chapter 18 tells us what happens next. In verse 1, it says, when he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. And on the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they were carrying torches and lanterns and weapons. Judas did not believe. If you read on in John chapter 18, we find out that after Jesus was arrested in that garden, he was brought before the high priest in a mockery of a trial where they questioned him and asked him, is he the Son of God? Christ did not deny it. They mocked him and ridiculed and slapped his face after Jesus finally proclaimed, I am he. The high priest tore his robe and cried out, blasphemy, and they sentenced him right then at that moment to die, to die. And it was at this moment where Jesus is in a mockery of a trial, an innocent man, that Peter, the one who said that he would never, never deny Christ, Peter didn't believe. Peter didn't believe. For Scripture tells us that he didn't just deny Christ once, but how many? Three times. He didn't believe. So what about the other disciples? Scripture tells us that most of them at this moment fled and ran off as quickly as they could. And they didn't believe. After this mockery of a trial and where Jesus was sentenced to die, the Jewish priests knew that this was the Passover time and they couldn't perform this execution, so they handed Jesus over to the Romans to do their dirty work for him. And so they brought Jesus to Pilate, the governor over that area, to sentence Jesus to execution. Well, Pilate wants to interview Christ himself and find out if this man is worthy enough to die on a cross. And so Pilate interviews him. Let us continue our story.
So, tell me who you are. Are you the King of the Jews?
Are you asking? Or is it a question coming from others?
Are you a king? That's what your own people and chief priests tell me you claim to be.
My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight my arrest. My kingdom is from another place.
Dream
the same. They want him executed.
You can't.
They say he could start a revolution.
You mustn't.
If I don't, Carthas will blame any rebellion on me. Caesar will see it as my failure. He's warned him once, he's not going to warn me again.
Pilate has a chance to believe himself, but he doesn't believe. John chapter 19 says in verse 1, then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. He was whipped 39 times, thinking that this somehow might pacify the Pharisees, but it doesn't. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns, and he put it on his head, and they clothed him in a purple robe, and he went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and a purple robe, Pilate said to them, Here is the man. And as soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify! Crucify! And nobody believed. Nobody believed. In the midst of this, you would expect some of his disciples to raise up and say, No, let me stand up on his side. Let me testify for him, not against him. But nobody is there. No one is there. The crowd is shouting, Crucify! Crucify! So Pilate washes his hands. Scripture tells us Pilate washes his hands and says, His blood is off of my hands. His blood will be on yours. They say, Fine. And nobody is believing. John goes on and tells us, So they took charge of Jesus. The soldiers made him carry his own cross, and he went out to the place of the skull, which is called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, and one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. An awful way to die. They pierced his hands and his feet, and they lifted him up to die of suffocation on a cross. Nobody, no one believed. John goes on and tells us, verse 28, later, knowing that everything had now been finished and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. And a jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, It is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. No one believed. You see, there's no coming back where Jesus was going. This was no halfway done job. The Romans were very proficient in walking out and acting out this form of execution. Why would anybody believe? Even though Christ has said repeatedly, the Son of Man would be given over to sinners, but on the third day he would rise again. But yet, No one believed, but would you blame them? Do I blame them? What a terrible thing to witness. What a thing to go to. There's nobody that comes back from what Jesus was going into. No one. You see, Scripture even tells us that at just the right time, God sent His Son for your and my sins. Have you ever thought about that verse? I have this week. And it took a new light to me. I always thought that, well, Jesus had a plan and it was mastered and He just kind of picked this time to be a good time to come. And that's true. But I want you to understand, studying history, this was one of the worst times to experience corporal punishment, if not the worst. Have you ever thought about Christ could have come during our day and age? And if He was sentenced to capital punishment today, how would it look different than it did back then? He had been given a sleeping drug to help him go to sleep, and then he would have been given a lethal form of injection, and that would be the end of it. But no, at just the right time, God chose a moment in history when capital punishment was its worst, its absolutely worst point. And He sent His Son then for you and for me to die a horrible death on the cross. And nobody comes back from that. Oh, well, preacher, He might have been halfway dead when they laid Him in the tomb. No, nobody comes back from this. For Scripture tells us to make sure that the job was done right, they did what? They pierced His side, and blood and water flows. And doctors would even tell you that for that to happen, for water and blood to be mixed together and flow out, would mean that Christ's heart literally broke. His heart broke for us on the cross. There's no coming back. No one comes back from what Christ went into. No one. And at this moment, the disciples were not believing. They were fearing. And would you blame them? Have you ever had a moment in your life where you just thought that there's just no hope, there's no way for things to work out right? I mean, have you? I know I have. Have you had a moment where you're just like, I know God does great things, but there's just no way it's going to happen today. There's no way it's going to happen for my life. Maybe you've said that about your own heart. You believe God could do it for other people, but for you? I mean, come on. You're not even supposed to be here today, are you? You might have even said, well, if I go back to church, that'll be the last day. I've heard somebody even tell me before, if I walk back into church, the roof is going to come fall in. Well, I'm here to tell you, the roof hasn't fell in yet. There's a lot of people that's come in here and given God a second chance in this place, because God never gives up on you. So His disciples weren't believing. I can understand that, can't you? They weren't believing. They were hiding. In fact, nobody remembered the words of Christ that, okay, I'm going to die. I'm going to die a horrible death, but in 3 days I'm going to rise from the tomb. Wouldn't you expect if Christ said that, you know what we'd do? What many churches in this place did, they had a sunrise service. But can I tell you, 2,000 years ago, they weren't having a sunrise service at the tomb. Nobody was standing in front of the tomb going, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Nobody. Nobody was believing. In fact, Scripture tells us in John chapter 20 that the first person that comes to the tomb is Mary. And Mary is not coming to the tomb expecting that Jesus be risen from the dead. Oh no, Scripture tells us that Mary's coming to the tomb to make sure that His body is well prepared for death. So she comes to make sure that He is prepared for death. But when she gets to that tomb, she doesn't find Him dead. Amen? She finds the stone rolled away. And she looks inside the tomb wondering, where's Christ? And the first thought she had is, oh, I remember now. That's right. Jesus said He was going to come back. No, she doesn't think that. The first thought that comes in her mind, you know what Scripture tells us? Where have they taken Him? Somebody must have stolen the body. You know, I wonder sometimes, why doesn't God just step down onto this earth and go knock us right in the head? I mean, come on. Didn't I tell you? She doesn't believe until finally Christ reveals Himself to her. She's overwhelmed. I imagine a light bulb went off. Oh yeah, that's right. He told us. And Jesus says, go back and find your brothers. When she goes back to find them, she doesn't find them praying and believing. In fact, Scripture tells us in John chapter 20, verse 19, on the evening of the first day of the week, that's a Sunday, that Sunday afternoon, when the disciples were together, the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. They weren't believing, they were fearing. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace with you." What an incredible encounter. I want to stop there for just a second. Did they deserve for Christ to come that day and appear to them? They were told, commanded, believe. Don't lose heart. Trust in me. They didn't. They feared. And Christ came to help them overcome their unbelief. He appeared. He rose from the dead. Have you ever thought about that for a moment? Why didn't just Jesus just die on the cross and go to his Father in heaven? He could have done that. But yet he purposely allowed himself to be buried, not for hours, for days, and then raised from the dead. Nobody raised him. Nobody moved a stone. He got up himself. Amen. In fact, he tells us, nobody takes my life. I lay it down and I take it back up again. He rose from the dead. Why did he do that? Why did he do that if not to help us overcome our unbelief? To help us. To help us trust in him. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." What an incredible encounter. Well, Jesus, don't you think they should prove themselves to you a little bit before you do that? No. He's so willing, so merciful. So willing to help us step in our purpose. By the way, I want you to do the same thing. Don't let Easter just be an event. Let it be a start to something bigger. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to come back next week. Or if you go to another church, go there. But I don't want this to be the last time you think about God. In fact, I want it to be the start of an everyday journey with him. I want you to receive the Holy Spirit. We're starting a whole new series next week. And don't worry, we're going to have plenty of space next week. We have services at 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. There is that same service. You can pick a time that's good for you, and you can come out, and you can take the next step of receiving the promise of God for your life, because God has a purpose for you. He has a journey for you. Amen? And by the way, I know you got questions about the Holy Spirit. I know you've heard some crazy things. I know some of you have even seen some crazy things. Can I tell you, this is a safe place to come. This is a safe place to come and just ask those questions, just to take the journey together. I promise you, we won't pull out any snakes. I promise you, we won't do anything crazy. But we will let you take a journey that you've been needing to take for a long time, if you'll just start today. Verse 29. Jesus has to show himself to even Thomas and the others, to help them overcome their unbelief. And Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet believe." How about you? In the next few moments, do you think Christ can show himself to you to help you overcome your unbelief? Why don't you watch this?
Taken him, tell me where he is. Teacher?
and tell our brothers. I am here.
It's open. He's alive. I saw him.
That's not possible.
I saw him.
Mary, maybe it was someone else.
I think I'm mad. Peter, see the tomb for yourself. Now, do you believe me?
But he's gone.
Gone? Now. He's back.
I need a cup and some wine.
What happened? His body. His blood. I'm the way. The truth.
Have heard this story for a long time, but our lives aren't really different, are they? You know, after this day, disciples who had heard the teachings of Jesus, those who had followed the teachings, seen what Jesus had done, after this day, they believed. I mean, they believed to the extent to where they made it their purpose to go out and share this with others. In fact, Acts chapter 4, verse 33 tells us that when they went, they preached. And they begin to testify of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and God's grace was them so powerfully at work in them all. The church was started because of the resurrection. I know the teachings are great. I love the teachings of Jesus. If you hang around me long enough, you'll hear them. I love receiving them. But can I tell you something? The church of Jesus Christ wasn't started on his teachings. They weren't started on just those miracle works that he did. They were started because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection, they gave power to those teachings. It gave power to the testimony of Jesus. Without his resurrection, it would just be a simple movement, nice little words on a book. But because of the resurrection, there's power now. Because his teachings aren't just good teachings, they're life-changing teachings now. They're life. So you say, well, I believe in his teachings, but I don't know about his being risen from the dead. Can I tell you, his teachings are nothing without his resurrection. Say, well, what was different about him? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those that wrote the Gospels and recorded the teachings of Jesus Christ, can I tell you, they went on spreading the Gospel wherever they went. They gave up their life, literally giving up their life, being martyred, killed because of what they had seen, not heard, seen. Jesus risen from the dead. Can I ask you, what are you willing to die for? Are you willing to die for a fable? Are you willing to die for a story that you made up? No, none of us would do that. That's foolishness. But you are willing to die for something that you know and you've seen with your own eyes is the truth, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? The church was started because of the resurrection. And they believed. That's why Jesus rose from the dead, to help them overcome their unbelief. Jesus did the most unbelievable thing to help them overcome their unbelief, and he's done the same for us. Why is this so important? Because when you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you start trusting in. When you believe that, you start trusting in. When you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, you start trusting in Christ. Now, the best way I can describe trust to you is like sitting on this stool. I can talk all day how I believe that that stool will hold up my weight. But it's only until I trust in it, put my whole weight on it, does it matter. Amen? And some of you would even tell me, Pastor Chris, I believe in Jesus, but can I push you a little bit because of the resurrection, because he's here today and he's helping us overcome our unbelief, to start putting your whole weight and trusting in Christ. Let me ask you, how would your life look different if you did that? I mean, come on, focus here for a minute. How would your life look different if you stopped just saying, oh, I believe, and you started trusting in? I mean, wouldn't you believe? Wouldn't you believe? Couldn't you see that if you started doing that, how addictions would be broken off your life? Wouldn't you believe and start trusting in and start coming to a place where you can find life and hope and experience the growth of God that he has for you? If you stop just saying, oh, I believe that, and you start trusting in, how would your marriage look different? How would you look different at your workplace? How would your future look if you stop just saying, I believe that, and you started trusting in? You started trusting in. How about your relationships with other people? Maybe you wouldn't be so worried about how people think about you and talk about you. Or who's with you or who's not with you. Or who was once with you is now with somebody else. If you stop just believing that and you started trusting in. You started trusting in Christ. And I know it's a struggle, isn't it? I mean, come on. Isn't it a struggle? It's a struggle, isn't it? Just like the disciples, it's a struggle. Because there's a big line between believing that to trusting in. You know what? Christ has promised me that he would be here today just like he was with his disciples. To help us overcome our unbelief. He's here for you to see and to feel his love for you. You know what? He's here already. You say, well, I don't see him. But if you allow yourself, you'll feel him. He's here in this room. In fact, that little tickle in the back of your throat, the hairs kind of standing up on the back of your neck, that moment in that where you understand something's weird's happening with my gut, that's Jesus stepping in a room so that you would move from believing that to trusting in. I want you to bow your heads with me right now. Some of you right now, right here in this moment, you need to take that step of trusting in Christ for your sins. You need to ask Him. Ask Him to forgive your sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Listen to me. This is the most important moment of the whole day right here. So please, focus for a minute with me. You need to make that decision today that Jesus Christ will be your Lord and Savior. That He would help you not just believe that, but start trusting in. Start trusting in. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the way that you know that you need a relationship with Him is because, well, you don't really know Him. You've heard a lot of stories about Him, but you don't really know Him. He's not personal to you. You see, He rose from the dead to have a relationship with you. If you think that He was not going to let death keep you from Him, why are you letting your doubt keep you from Him? Why not trust in the Lord with your salvation, with your life? Why don't some of you need to make this right again? You don't have a relationship. Maybe in the past you had a relationship with Jesus, but not today. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. So right here in this moment, I'm not going to take long with this. But you know, I need to make my heart right with Christ this morning. He's here in this room to help you overcome your unbelief. He loves you so much. You would say right now, Pastor Chris, that's me. I need to get my heart right with Jesus. I want you to raise your hand. Nobody else looking around, just raise your hand and say, that's me. That's me. Thank you. Just hold it up for a second. Many hands going up everywhere. Anybody else? Just hold it up. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just hold them up there. Getting a quick count. Say, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So many hands are raising up right now. I see those hands in the back too. Thank you. Anybody else? Nobody else looking around. I just need to know who I'm praying for. Any others right now? Just quickly. You've taken that step right now. I need to make it right. Amen. Good. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. All right. All right, you can put your hand down. Put your hand down. Will you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your life and your death and your resurrection. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I thank you that you loved me and you gave yourself for me. I give myself in return to you. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my heart today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, stand to your feet and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Come on, somebody help me thank Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.